Hello, world. This is The Real Talk, and your host is Ruby Realness. It is such a pleasure to finally be able to make this podcast. I am so excited for today's episode. I really want to focus on allowing myself to be real, raw, and vulnerable so that all of you guys can really get to know who I am, why I decided to start working on this podcast, and the goal that I have in mind with this podcast, the purpose that it has. So first, I want to start saying that I am a 26-year-old who lives in Puerto Rico. I lived most of my early tweens and teens in the United States, in Connecticut, which is why I'm quite fluent in English as well as Spanish. I come from a middle-class, low-income home. I was raised by a single mother. And during my childhood, I suffered a lot of emotional and wounds and a lot of abandonment wounds, which have reflected themselves throughout my teenage years and also my adult life. My mother was a woman who struggled from a severe chronic back condition. She has severe scoliosis, she has osteoporosis, and many other conditions, as well as heart conditions. And she suffered from these chronic illnesses since she was 14. I want to talk a little bit about my mother because I know that a lot of who I am is because of her. And even the way I express myself, the way I talk, is a lot. There's a lot of influence from my mother. She is practically the only family member that I really keep in touch with. My family has always been a bit dysfunctional as well. So I wasn't really raised with a loving, caring, and united family as I would have liked. And I saw my mother struggle a lot after she gave birth to me. Her condition worsened and she had to get a back surgery. During this time, she had been living in Puerto Rico and she had married my father because she got pregnant with me. And my father already had shown my mother a lot of red flags. Me and my mom have had this conversation various times on how she met my father, things that happened during the relationship. And there were clearly red flags that my father demonstrated to my mom in the beginning of their relationship. And she still chose to get married to him because he pressured marriage onto her because she was pregnant with me. It didn't really come from a place of love and happiness. It came more out of, let's get married because of what people will say. Especially here in Puerto Rico, during my mom's youth, the people that are Latin American know how much religion influences in our lives and in our decisions. So it was more of a, we don't want people to talk that you got pregnant out of marriage, so let's get married. They got married and shortly after she gave birth to me and she started losing the capability to walk. The only bones that were in her body that had not been so much affected by her scoliosis ended up shifting when she gave birth to me. Especially since she gave birth to me here in Puerto Rico, the doctors were not very careful. They didn't consider her medical history and they let her give birth to me instead of doing cesarean, I believe it's called in English. And she ended up losing her capability to walk. So she ended up having to be transferred to a hospital in the United States on wheelchair. My father was not even there to be with her during this difficult process. I was left to be taken care of by my grandma. So I had this separation from my mother and my father didn't even take care of me during this time that my mom was in the States during her back operation. So the reason why I'm saying this is because at a very young age, I suffered from fear of abandonment, fear of change. There was such a rapid change in me, no longer living in my house, having to live with my grandmother, barely seeing my father, not knowing what happened to my mother. And once I was 3 years old, my grandma took me to the United States and I was reunited with my mother. But then that was another traumatic experience because my mom was no longer the person who she was before. She was bedridden. She couldn't cook because she couldn't even lift up a pan or a pot. The weight was too much for her. The recovery was so crucial and it was so difficult. She had to go through many therapies to be able to start walking again and regaining strength in her legs. And during that time, she also was going through a divorce because my father was cheating on her. They had already had many problems in their marriage. And while I lived with my mom in the United States, while she's going through this process of divorce and of recovering, I hardly saw my father. So there was so many traumas in my childhood, wondering, where is my father? Why isn't my father here to support and help and provide security and safety for me and my mother? My mom even tells me I would see any random man in the street or any man that worked like in the building where we were living, and I would call them father because I couldn't differentiate who was a father. And, you know, I was looking like for that that protection or that male provider that I never had, that male figure that I never had in my life. So for many years of my adolescence, I always had like kind of like this void, this frustration with my father, seeing my mother have to struggle on her own, but at the same time seeing how strong she was, how she didn't give up and she did all she could in her power to get better, to be able to protect and provide and be mother and father at the same time for me. But there was always a lot of resentment. There was always a lot of that feeling of wanting to be accepted, wanting that love from my father, yet at the same time resenting him for not being there for me and my mother when we most needed him. And that resentment kind of went and attached itself to me all the way up to my adult life. And it reflected itself in how I approached romantic relationships or people that I was interested in. So a lot of my early 20s, right, I started dating like around the age of 19. I had my first boyfriend at the age of 19. And I kind of started dating this guy, not because I was attracted to him per se. He was attracted to me first. But it was more of this, okay, he noticed me first. He approached me first. I think he's kind of cool and has some cool qualities. But there was also a lot of red flags. We were very young, very immature. There were things that he was doing that I didn't like and that would kind of make me feel insecure. So there was a lot of insecurity. I had never had a boyfriend during high school or middle school. I was pretty much finishing high school and starting college when I started dating this guy. And I was with him for 3 years, but he was explosive. He would become very reckless when he was like angry or upset. There was all of these toxic traits and patterns that he was demonstrating at such a young age, right? He would be very rude to his parents and he would get mad and he would throw things, break things, punch walls. And by the third year that I was with him, we decided to move together, not because I wanted to, but again, because he pressured me. He was very insecure about himself and he felt that if I moved, right, I was just starting college and he felt that if I moved into an apartment and I didn't live with him, that I would leave him for someone else. Something that I feel that he did more out of a way of controlling me. And I stayed in this relationship again because I craved that validation. I craved that security and that love that I had never gained from a father. Then we move on, right? A few months after living with him, things got worse. He was more aggressive when he would get upset and he would even threaten. He would create threats of violence when he was upset. So I decide to break up with him, and I take all of my things, all of my belongings, and I just leave, and I move. I move somewhere else. I was about a week with one of my best friends, and then I moved. And I end up falling into such toxic patterns. There was this void within me. It was like I didn't want to be with my ex because I knew he was no good for me, because I knew he was a violent, angry person. Yet there was this void and this loneliness within me that I couldn't fill up with anything. So I started filling it up with bad habits and addictions, right? From drinking to trying to go out by myself to parties, clubbing, meeting and creating friendships with people that were not good for me, that didn't care about my well-being, and entering into impulsive connections with people that I barely knew just to feel something. And the reason why I'm saying all of this is because things didn't get better from there. I didn't get psychological help. I wasn't really doing the research or the work that I needed to do within myself. I hadn't realized that there was so many festering wounds within me, which was causing me to make all of these impulsive decisions, right? So I even got into a relationship after that, almost a 1-year relationship with a guy I had met online. He lived about 2 hours away from my home, and our connection was so quick. It was so spontaneous and it was so impulsive that from day one of me meeting this person, right, we had been talking a while online, but when we actually met each other, he was literally a walking red flag. He was a schizophrenic that was not receiving treatment. He had attempted various times to commit suicide when his previous partner had left him. He had also been in a rehabilitation center due to him trying to commit suicide various times. He wasn't getting help. He wasn't getting counseling. He wasn't working. He wasn't studying. And mind you, when I met him, he tried to make it seem as if he was put together, as if his life was put together. But in reality, it wasn't. In reality, he was falling apart mentally, spiritually, and physically. And whenever I was with him, I felt as if the life was being sucked out of me. Yet I stayed, and I felt as if I had to stay out of compassion or like to fill in that loneliness. Mind you that I'm also suffering at that moment. I was also suffering from depression, from anxiety. But I was working, I was studying, I was pulling night shifts as a bartender, right? And doing a lot of other jobs on the side. So I was falling apart as well, but I was trying to work and I was trying to study and I had my goals. But yet I was with this person that was a walking red flag, that didn't want to save themselves. They didn't want to help themselves. And I stayed out of, oh, maybe they can fill up that void that I have within me. But it didn't. Things just got worse. And I ended up having to break up with him, pack up my stuff, and move again because I was afraid that he would either try to harm me or kill me. He knew where I lived. He knew the color of my car. He was a person that liked to stalk as well and be very impulsive. He would hear voices. And it was just, he was a person where his mind was in very dark places. And I ended up having to pack up my things, move. And during that time, I also sold my car and I got a new one. And my third relationship was also 3 years with another person. And this person, which was my last partner, I am currently not with anyone else, and I know I cannot be in a relationship for a good while until I heal. But my last partner seemed to have it all. He had his own profession. He had multiple cars. He had multiple houses, and he seemed to bring down the sun, the stars, the moon at my feet. But I ended up finding out that he had lied to me multiple times and was keeping in contact with his exes, visiting and the house of other women. And he would lie to me and tell me that he was working. And he had shown a few red flags, but I didn't think that they were enough for me to leave him, because my previous partners had been more toxic. And because I wanted to have faith that this was the person I was going to marry, that finally I had found a safe place to heal and a safe place and a steady and secure relationship. And I thought that as long as I stayed soft and malleable and kind and compassionate, that we could communicate, overcome those red flags, and that he would change to become a better person, just like I was trying to be a better person for him. And this last ex was very empathic. He would tell me everything that I wanted to hear. He was very consistent, and he gave me everything that I wanted in a relationship: the security, the love, the making sure that I was okay and well taken care of. But there was so many lies and so much manipulation behind his words as well, that I ended up realizing that it doesn't matter who you're with, doesn't matter how many chances you give someone to change. People only change when they truly realize that they have to change for themselves. And I realized that I have to give myself time to grow, to heal, to get to know myself, get to know what my purpose on this planet is. And just to come to a conclusion, that is exactly why I started creating this podcast, as a way for me to be able to give my vulnerable self, show the most vulnerable, raw, and ugly parts of myself to the world, so that you know that you're not alone, that making mistakes is completely normal, and that we all have a wounded child within ourselves that has to be healed. And that it doesn't matter how many partners you're with, it doesn't matter if the last one was more toxic than the one you're with now. You deserve peace, you deserve love and happiness, but most of all, you deserve healing, taking time for yourself, getting to know yourself, and doing the work. So that is why the real talk is born, because I want us to sit down and I want us to reflect what has gone on in our past that has made us become the people we are today, that makes us take the decisions that we take today. What is it that we have within ourselves that impulses us to be who we are in the current moment? And who do we truly want to become? Where do we want to be here? Like, who would we like to become from 2 to 3, 4 months, a year? Like, who do we want to become in the future? What is it that we want for our future? Do we want to stay with the same toxic patterns and behaviors that we have right now? Or do we want to grab them by their roots and pull them out and start pulling out all of those toxic tendencies that we have and pull out all of that pain, get rid of it, transmute it, and become better versions of ourselves in order to reach our higher purpose, in order to reach peace and love and fulfillment? And with that, I leave you guys. If you guys want to start now on that journey of self-improvement, of learning about your own toxic behaviors and patterns that you should be aware of in other people, and if you want to really just sit with me and reflect on how we can grow, how we can become stronger, what should we avoid, what should we be aware of, and just take it day by day in order to reach that goal of self-fulfillment, then you are more than welcome to see me and hear me in the next episode and become part of the Real Talk, part of this family, where we will strive to be real with ourselves and to work on ourselves together to create a community where you don't feel alone, where you feel supported, where you feel loved, and where it's okay to be real, to be raw, to accept our mistakes, to accept our imperfections, but work on them. Thank you so much for listening to this episode, and I hope you join me.